afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:35 p.m. on Wednesday, April 20th, 2022. Present today are Representative Thompson, Representative Lebon, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. This afternoon, we will take public testimony and consider amendments to House Bill 289, Marijuana Task Force, and we will hear an introduction of Senate Bill 222, extending the Physical and Occupational Therapy Board. So we will begin with House Bill 289, Alaska Marijuana Industry Task Force, by Representative Hopkins. We last heard this bill on March 18th, and this is the second hearing. Amendments were due to my office on Tuesday at noon, and there are two or three amendments before the committee. But before we go to amendments, we will do public testimony on House Bill 289. So with that, I'm opening public testimony on House Bill 289. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing no one, we will go online. It looks like first in Kenai, we have Dolly Phelps. Dolly, welcome to House Finance. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. This is Belinda Phelps, and I'm a cultivator here in Kenai. I do want to offer very strong support for the passage of this bill. It is going to provide a great arena for conversations that are long overdue and necessary, I feel, for the industry's growth and stability. Some of the issues, such as the tax restructuring, cannot be done by the Marijuana Control Board, and this provides an avenue for the conversations to happen. I think a strong support on my end. I don't know anybody that I've talked to that doesn't support this bill, and I hope all of you can see the value of it and support this bill as well. And that's all I have today.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Phelps. We appreciate you calling in. There's a question from Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I guess I'm curious for all callers. Are you a member of AMIA, Alaska Marijuana Industry Association?
I am not a member of the AMIA. I think I did public comment last time, strongly supporting that they open it up to all licensees to be a part of this task force. I still stand behind that, but I don't want the bill to not pass because of that. I think if we open it up to all licensees, it will offer a broader spectrum. It will increase our pool of qualified candidates for the board, and I think it's most appropriate. But either way, I do feel the bill absolutely should pass.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Let the record reflect at 1:38 p.m. we were joined by Representative Carpenter. Thank you, Ms. Phelps, for calling in. We appreciate your testimony. Next in Fairbanks with the Tanana Herb Company is Sam Hatchie. Welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Samuel Hatchie. I'm a part owner of Tanana Herb Company here in Fairbanks, Alaska. We have two cultivations, a manufacturing facility, and a soon-to-be open retail. We got our first license back in August of 2016, and I've been eagerly awaiting this bill to pass over some desks to, again, engage that conversation as the market continues to develop. I have it in front of me, and I like everything that is on here. I like how the board is structured as far as three local government officials, people from the AMIA, people from the representative in the House. I support starting this conversation and continuing on. That's pretty much it. Great job, guys.
Great. Well, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate your testimony. I see no questions. We will go again to Fairbanks with Good Cannabis. Trevor Haynes, welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Good afternoon. My name is Trevor Haynes. I'm with Good Cannabis here in Fairbanks. We have a retail license, manufacturing license, and a cultivation license here in Fairbanks. And I'm also serving as the vice president for the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association. And so we've been in the industry since very early on, and you know, this industry is very diverse. None of us went to school to be in the cannabis industry. So we come from all different backgrounds. There's lots of different license types, different levels of integration, vertical integration. And so it's hard to get some consensus sometimes, but one thing that this industry does have consensus on right now in my opinion, is that taxes need to be addressed. What the solution is difficult for us for the reasons that many have pointed out. We don't have the data. You know, we need to have an open, transparent conversation about it. And that's what I think this bill brings to the table. So I'm very supportive of this bill. I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes, and I appreciate the work that the people that have drafted it has put into it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. We appreciate your testimony. I see no questions. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 1:41 p.m. Our next testifier in Anchorage is Joan Wilson, the incoming Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office Director. Welcome, Ms. Wilson, to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Madam Chair, Joan Wilson, incoming Director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. I am just here, one, to introduce myself, and two, to address any questions that you may have, Madam Chair.
Great, wonderful. Thank you for being with us. I see no
questions. Interim Director Kerry Craig is here as well. I apologize for interrupting you.
Oh, no, that is fine. I see no questions, so thank you so much for testifying today. Next in Kenai is Ryan Tunseth. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Ryan Tunseth. I represent a retail business in Kenai called East Rip, and I'm also the treasurer of the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association. I'll be brief. It sounds like there's a lot of others on the line, but I wanted to express support for House Bill 289 for a few reasons. Primarily, I think it's a great way for there to get collaborative discovery of data for lawmakers to make decisions, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. So I think it's a very wise thing to look at, specifically because tax dominates the discussion of problems in our industry. It really is at the top, and it's kind of critical to look at changing it for the survival of a lot of small businesses, many of the suppliers that I get product from myself. And so I think that it's really timely. It seems like it's right for having this discussion and a really wise move for lawmakers on both sides of the aisle. And that's all. I'll take any questions if you have them. Thank you for allowing me time to testify.
Great. Thank you very much. I see no questions from the committee. I see no one else online to testify. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, I will go ahead and close public testimony on House Bill 289. I'd like to recognize we've been joined by Representative Hopkins, the bill sponsor. And it looks like we have one fiscal note that we briefly went over, but Ms. Craig, are you available to go over the fiscal note, OMB component number 3119?
Kerry Craig, Acting Director for AMCO, through the chair to your question. I am willing to do my best to answer any questions.
Great, thank you. Questions from the committee on the fiscal note? Seeing none, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I don't have any questions. Just wanted to touch base on the changes we made to the fiscal note in the previous committee, where we ensured that all of the committee meetings would be held virtually among the members instead of in person, and that cut down the cost substantially so there wasn't any travel or lodging or things like that. Considering this is only a 6 month or so long task force at the longest, I think that'd be manageable in the short term. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Thank you. Okay, further discussion before we move to amendments? Seeing none, brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 1:45 p.m. Representative Rasmussen.
I will not offer amendment number one at this time.
Thank you. Amendment number two by Representative Wohl. Is there a motion?
Move amendment number two.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Wohl.
Thank you. I know you're going to love this. I want to go. I have an amendment to the amendment of number two, but if you want, I'll read the amendment first. It might make it easier.
We'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 1:47 p.m. Representative Wohl on amendment number two.
I move amendment number two, and I will.
And I will object for discussion.
Thank you. Amendment number two describes the three members that are on the task force that are industry members, and the three members on my amendment are: one is a cultivator, and only a cultivator. One is a retailer, and only a retailer. And one is one, what's called vertically integrated, and a couple of our callers mentioned that they were, which means they have three licenses. Alleged Legal drafted up vertically integrated as just more than one license, so it could be two out of the three, any two. And I have an amendment to further delineate that one of the two is a manufacturer. So not a retailer, not a cultivator. So I'll move amendment, conceptual amendment to amendment number two.
I'll object for discussion.
Thank you. Conceptual amendment to amendment number two basically says on the page of the amendment, line nine, letter C, one member who holds one or more registrations under AS 1738. And my amendment to the amendment says of which one must be a marijuana manufacturing establishment. So they can have two or three licenses, and what's common is all three: cultivation, manufacture, retail. And that way they can, you know, exchange product between their two, all three businesses. This would mean that letter A says is a cultivator, letter B says retail, letter C says two licenses, at least two, up to three, which one must be a manufacturer. So that way all three aspects of the industry are represented, and one of them, and also the other aspect that's represented is a multiple license holder, which is very common. And if we're talking taxes, which I believe that's what this task force is, one of their main goals, as one of the testifiers said, and I've heard from many constituents in the industry, is a taxing problem because of the flat tax that was imposed on the ballot initiative. Doesn't really work since the price has dropped since the industry started. So if taxing is an issue, I want all three license holders represented on this task force, including multiple license holders, because that's also our lot of the individuals in this industry, and I think they have a slightly different perspective than a single license holder. So if that explains it without over-explaining it, I will rest my case.
Great, thank you. I'd like to recognize Senator Gray Jackson has joined us. Welcome, Senator. Representative Rasmussen on conceptual amendment one to amendment number two.
Yeah,
you. Further discussion? Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think you were saying that you had a written amendment, but maybe it didn't make it into the packet. Just so that we have it on the record, can you read what lines 9 and 10 should say? I think you started to explain it, but I don't know that I heard. Just if we could have specific words on the record.
Sure, Co-Chair Foster. And I do have my own printed copy that I'd be happy to distribute. I have distributed to members, which I should have done already, and I apologize about that. But as it would read, page 1, line 10, so starting at line 9, it says, one member who holds one or more registrations under AS 17 port 38 to operate marijuana establishments, of which, and then I'm inserting, of which one must be for a marijuana manufacturing establishment.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Representative Lavon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And on amendment number 2, item D, one member appointed under A through C of this section shall represent a business that is not a member of the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association. Is that part of the amendment, or did you remove that?
Through the chair, that I believe is currently in the bill in front of us, but I think it's rewritten in the amendment to, because this deletes lines 20 through 23, and that language is in those lines 20 through 23, so I'm reinserting it. And I still agree with that sentiment, and I know there's another amendment that will address that issue, so I'll wait to discuss that later.
And for the record, the only difference on this conceptual amendment is on line 10, it adds after establishments, of which one must be
a manufacturer.
A follow-up.
Yes, Representative LeBlanc.
Yes. In Alaska, what's the percentage breakdown of marijuana businesses, be it cultivation or retail or wholesale, that are not members of the Alaska marijuana industry versus are members of the industry association? Is that information available?
Yes, Mr. Hartenbrook.
For the record, Joe Hardenbrook, Office of Representative Hopkins. And we have Lacey Wilcox from the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association who can speak to this as well. But I believe that the breakdown is roughly a quarter of license holders in the state of Alaska are members of AMIA, which compares, I believe the char represents about 35% of alcohol license owners in the state. So it's roughly equivalent. But Lacey can speak to that if I'm misstating.
Ms. Wilcox, would you like to come forward and place yourself on the record? Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you. Lacey Wilcox, President of the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association, through the chair. Joe is correct. We, I think, at this point are representing 35% of licenses. Where it gets a little bit tricky is, like was pointed out, some licensees have multiple licenses. So I, for example, have 2. Trevor had 3. Are we counting each license that's held as one of those numbers? We're not. We're counting each entity, each umbrella entity. So Trevor's company counts as 1. My company counts as 1. So that skews our numbers a little bit because we are able to have multiple licenses. So if I were to count it based on actual licenses held out of the 420 licenses issued by the state, we are much larger in representation.
Thank you,
Ms. Wilcox. Let the record reflect at 1:52, we were joined by Representative Edgman. Is there further discussion on conceptual amendment 1 to amendment number 2? Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just curious, sponsor of the bill, what are your thoughts on amendment number 2?
Thank you, Representative Foster, through the other co-chair. I think the diversity of views and experiences is critical to have on here, so I support this in both the conceptual amendment 1 and the underlying amendment as well.
Thank you,
Representative Hopkins. Further discussion? Seeing none, I will remove my objection on conceptual amendment 1 to amendment 2. Further objection? Hearing none, conceptual amendment number 1 has been adopted. Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move conceptual amendment number 2 to amendment 2, which would just eliminate the line
Okay, I will object for discussion.
So, as we just heard, not all members, or not all licensee holder or license holders are members of the AMIA, and this just allows for non-members to be able to participate if they so choose.
So, Representative Rasmussen, can you please repeat what the amendment will do?
Yes, it would remove in Amendment Number 2, lines 11, 12, and 13.
Okay, deleting 11, 12, and 13 lines of Amendment Number 2. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And if I think I understood Representative Rasmussen, she wants to ensure that a non-AMIA member is appointed. And I agree with that 100%. And that's why I retained the language that says under Section A3C of this, anyhow, that represent, line 12, represent a business that is not a member. So there's three industry members, and one is non-AMIA. So that guarantees one out of the three is non-AMIA. Now, one might argue, well, if we got rid of that language, then all three could be non-AMIA, or two out of the three could be non-AMIA, or zero out of or none could be AMIA. Now, if you dig a little deeper in the bill, the people that appoint three members on line 21, page 2 of the bill, businesses appointed by the board of directors of AMIA. So I don't think the AMIA is going to put three industry members, none of which are their own. Would they put one out of three? Possibly. This amendment, as it's unamended, says two out of three will be AMIA, one will be non. I guess my concern is if you take out this section, they could appoint all three AMIA members. And I want to protect against that. If the language in the bill were to say at least one is not a member, then you could go two or three, so it's not limiting to one. I'm okay with that. But to get rid of the language altogether, and I'm not, I don't mean to impugn the motives of AMIA, and maybe they would be fine appointing two non-members or even three non-members. I doubt that. But since they're the appointing body, I'm a little leery of removing any reference to non-members. So, and that's what this amendment to the amendment would do. And I think if you wanted to make sure there was one or two, then you could say at least one should be a non-member. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you. We'll have Ms. Wilcox come up and comment. Thank you again.
Hi, Lacey Wilcox, for the record, president of the AMIA, through the chair. So in the Labor and Commerce Committee, there was a testifier who was had a similar concern that it wasn't open to all, and so you've described it completely correct. The AMIA is the appointing committee, I guess, and I can tell you already we've developed a process to solicit input, and when we put this process together, we sent that invitation to all 420, no joke, sorry, licensees. All of them are welcome to submit interest in serving on this task force. I can tell you, as of today, I don't think any person has submitted interest that isn't an AMIA member. However, if all of a sudden, after today, there's a ton of talent in that pool, I'm not interested at all in your AMIA status. The question in the questionnaire to me is, are you willing to collaborate? If you are appointed to this task force and you are not a member of the AMIA, would you be willing to sit at a table with us and share all of our collective concerns? Because I don't believe you should have to be a member or not be a member. I understand. And where it was born to look at this amendment was through the comment of somebody who is not an AMIA member who commented here today in support of the bill, and she was in support of this conceptual amendment to make it more open in case all of the applicants are non-members. She wanted it to be available that all three could be. And so I understand the conundrum. I don't really want to die on my hill for it.
Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And I think what I know someone called in and said they support the bill with the elimination of that language. And I don't question your integrity, Ms. Wilcox, but the industry may survived you, and there'll be new people in charge. And having dealt with other trade groups that represent industries of which a percentage are members and a percentage aren't, and then the industry group comes up with a decision that their members or their board is implored to back under all circumstances, even if some members don't agree with it, they're saying, look, you got to stick with the board, and there's political pressure within some of these trade groups. So, again, what you say, I believe, and may be fine, but in subsequent years, and this task force, I realize, is a short-term thing, so I shouldn't go beyond that. But, you know, the bill as written says one member is non-AMIA, and I think that addresses the concern of the person you mentioned that doesn't want it all AMIA only. Allowing one or at least one, I think, is fine language to get rid of it. What if no non-AMIA members apply? Then it'll be all AMIA members. But I think you said maybe a quarter or a half, maybe half the licensees are non-members. I would think out of 210 licensees, you should be able to find one that would stand on this. And I've been texting a couple friends of mine that are non-members that, yeah, we do it. So I think they're out there. I just get leery of removing that reference altogether because then it could be all AMIA.
Can I respond?
Yes, Ms. Wilcox.
If it were to say better language, I think you had recommended maybe one, maybe non-member. Something that I guess I'm nervous that I don't get any applicants that aren't AMIA members. And if you've got people who are interested and you want to pass them on to me, I'd be grateful for that. But so far, the people who show up to city councils, legislative hearings, task forces, work groups, marijuana regulating board meetings are people who tend to join the only statewide industry association that we have. And I don't want to like I said, die on the hill for it, but I do want an outlet if nobody applies. And if you want to share those names with me or pass on my information, then I'd be feeling more confident. But as of today, I don't have anybody interested that isn't a member.
Representative Wolf.
Yeah, well, I guess because you mentioned there's 420 license holders and you need three to fulfill this task force. Mm-hmm. I would think three out of 420 is doable, and perhaps you've only heard from members, but I would hate for that to be your limiting factor. And the language I proposed was at least one member.
Yeah, at least.
Instead of only one. But right now you're worried you can't even get one, and I tend to think you should be able to find one out of 418. So
I'm happy to do whatever. It is really not that important. This was really crafted for the one commenter who was concerned that one wasn't enough.
Great, thank you. Representative Carpenter.
I'm hesitant to weigh into this. I asked the question why Section D here, or it's included in the bill as it stands, requiring AMIA to nominate or bring forward a non-member. And it's got to be for diversity of thought or diversity of representation is the purpose here. But it seems like a conflict of interest that an organization would be recommending or bringing forward a name that's not of the organization. Part of being able to maintain diversity of thought is that you don't have a say over who the other individual is going to be. So I'm not, as I'm moving through the bill here on very short notice, I don't know how we would go about that, but it seems like that non-AIA member should not be in Section 6. It should be its own section somehow, and that somehow is in my mind. Who would be the nominator at that point? But a non-AMIA member should be able to apply to be on the board. And without AMIA having a say in whether they are the right person or not.
Thank you.
Diversity of thought.
Mr. Hardenbrook?
Thank you. Representative Carpenter through the chair. For the record, Joe Hardenbrook, Office of Representative Hopkins. You hit the nail on the head there, sir. We are trying very hard to ensure diversity of thought and good representation. representation. You see also in the bill it requires that these three members represent or reside in different judicial districts so that we build in that sort of geographic representational diversity there as well. I would say that the purpose of this task force is to get a group of folks together, give them some good data, and have them propose to the legislature, to the governor, to the Marijuana Control Board, to impacted municipalities. We've looked at the data. This is what we feel would be a reasonable economic footing for this industry going forward. This task force is just advisory. Every single recommendation that this task force comes up with will require further action in order to implement, whether that's a bill passed by the legislature, which would require a member of the legislature to put their name on that piece of legislation going forward. The governor, whether it's action that's implemented through regulation or through referring tasks to different agencies or to the Marijuana Control Board or regulations drafted by the Marijuana Control Board. Every single suggestion, recommendation that this task force comes up with will require further action, further endorsement from entities of state government, whether it's executive or legislative, in order to implement anything. So yes, we are shooting for that diversity of thought, but we're also really trying to get a group of folks together, give them good data so that they can make recommendations on how to put this industry on firmer economic footing going forward.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you. And then just a thought, thinking out loud here, why don't you just make that member, the non-AIA member, apply to the task force, and the first order of business of the task force is to select from that pool of who you're going to work with that's a non-AIA member and it's not any of the other appointees, and that solved that problem. That way you don't have a conflict of interest between an individual that's not a member of AMIA and their requirement to put somebody forward.
Mr. Hardenbrook?
Representative Carpenter, through the chair, it's a fine point, sir. The reason why we structured the legislation the way that it was is because the time frame for this task force to meet, review the data, and make the recommendations to the state is so incredibly short. We're asking this group to get started as soon as this legislation is signed by the governor, and then produce a report back to the legislature. This task force will cease to exist when the next legislature is sworn in. So because of that very limited time frame, and because, again, all of the product of this task force will be recommendations and for further action, we thought that for the sake of streamlining the process, getting a group of folks together, getting them the data, having them produce those recommendations so that action can be taken the next year, that this was the most streamlined way to do it.
Thank you. Representative Rasmussen and then Wool.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think basically what we're trying to do here is allow for flexibility for the most qualified applicants or candidates to the board to be able to come forward. If that happens to be one member who's not a member of AMIA, that's great. But if applicants don't come forward, I mean, with the limited time frame that we have, I understand the desire to have a diverse view, but as an appraiser, I'm a member of a professional organization similar in my professional capacity to the role that AMIA serves to those who are in the marijuana industry. And not every appraiser in Alaska is a member of the Appraisal Institute, but every certified appraiser faces similar challenges in our business. I'm sure just as all of the license holders, whether they're a member of this organization or not, face. So I guess I don't want to unnecessarily micromanage the industry. I trust that those who are leading the industry and in the industry know what they're looking for in the applications, and I think that we should defer to them a little bit on what qualifications a person has and not just affiliation with on the membership in an organization.
Thank you, Representative Rasmussen. Representative Wolf.
Thank you. I guess one point that Mr. Hardenbrook made, that this is just a task force. They make a recommendation. It's also be approved by the legislature. And that's all well and good. But we've had other task forces that have gotten together and come up with recommendations. And even though we don't pass any legislation on them, they seem to get mentioned again and again and again, as if it's this work has to be abided by. I'm talking about a certain fiscal group that met recently, and even though they make recommendations and there's no statutes that come out of it and we haven't approved anything, it keeps getting waved around as, look, this is what they said. So, and when a group comes together, a task force comes together and presents a work, a body of work to us, a lot of us go, well, this is what they said. It must be what they want. It must be what all the industry wants. And then the industry rep gets, this is what we want. And, you know, if you represent half the industry and the other half is not represented and disagrees, but they don't have a spokesman. There's no non-represented spokesman and spokesperson. And so that's where I get a little, you know, I do believe there should be some diversity and qualifications. If you're in the industry and you have a license and you have a business that's operating, you know, I think you're qualified. I don't know beyond that what, if they're going to look at how much money you made or anything like that. So I think we're all saying the same thing here. I just want to make sure that I do want this thing to happen quickly. So
thank you. And I'll just ask committee members to tread lightly on everyone's motives. Ms. Wilcox?
The other piece of the invitation to participate is a participation to all licensees, again, to participate in an advisory group at the AMIA, regardless of your membership status. I understand not everyone's going to take me up on that, but it is because I selfishly want to hear from everybody, regardless. This is that serious, and it is fast. It is live or die, really, for some people. So I'm not interested in excluding anybody, and I understand the history of other task force and advisory councils, but I don't really know what else to do, and then I would be concerned if we were to take away one of the three to be not put forward by AMIA. Which one would that be? And I could tell you the best and the brightest in the industry are everywhere. We all are qualified, but not everybody has the time and the commitment and ability to show up for a very fast-moving, serious bit of work. I have to be respectful of people's businesses they're trying to run. So gauging current interest, I have a much smaller pool of people than you might think.
I'm sure Representative Wool will be happy to give you some names and numbers. Representative Wool.
Thank you. And regardless of how this vote turns out, can you tell us on the record, as the president of AMIA and the person who presumably will be involved in the selection process in the board, that if this language were to be removed, that you would go to your utmost to make sure that at least one of the three is a non-AMI member, assuming you have an applicant or two or three that would want to be on this task force, it is not a member, that you would see to it that you would try your best to make sure that one is?
Through the chair, absolutely. I think it would be detrimental for me not to do that. And, I would like to grow trust and grow my membership, so I will make my best effort to find the best people for the job.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Wilcox. Representative Rasmussen, and wrap up on conceptual amendment number two to amendment number two.
No wrap up. I just asked for member support.
Thank you. I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? With that, Madam Clerk, if you would please call the roll on conceptual amendment number two to amendment number two.
Representative Rasmussen?
Yes.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Wool?
No.
Representative Carpenter?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Lebon?
No.
Representative Ortiz?
No.
Representative Thompson?
No.
Representative Foster?
No.
Representative Merritt?
Yes.
3A, 7 nays.
And with a vote of 3 ayes and 7 nays, conceptual amendment number two to amendment number two has failed to be adopted. That takes us to amendment number two as amended. Representative Wool.
I have said enough about amendment number two, and I hope it passes.
Thank you. Is there further discussion on amendment number two as amended? Seeing none, I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number two has been adopted. Are there any further comments, questions on House Bill 289? Representative Edgemon.
So, I support the bill the way it is, just to preface my comments, but maybe give the bill sponsor the opportunity. The timeline involved for the task force to do its work and present its report is really pretty short. And I look at the front page of the bill and I see the charge being existing marijuana taxation, fee structure, and things like that. And knowing how long it takes to get any kind of a taxation bill through the legislature, it's a two-session endeavor, in my view. And sometimes it can be done in one session, of course. But has there been any contemplation in taking that December 30th one deadline and moving that up to like February or something next year, just to give the task force a little bit more time, maybe, theory time over the holiday break to contemplate things and to come back and just knowing that a report to the legislature by day one of 2023 has its advantages, but as well, if you're looking at a two-year time period, what's an additional month or so relative to a bill getting introduced in the legislature, kind of sitting around, if it's a tax bill, you don't know if they're making it for the House and the Senate, it's going to be blah, blah, blah. But just give you an opportunity to talk to that. And again, I'm offering that in a very friendly way.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Representative Edgemon, through the chair. It certainly is an expedited time frame, and in the great scheme of two sessions or 2 years, that month or so additional in February might not might be beneficial for passage of the legislation and to get everything finalized. They are recommendations to the legislature, so if it's we ran out of time and this is something that would be discussed and would be a good aspect to it during the committee process for any legislation put forward based on those recommendations, that could be ironed out as well. Additionally, these are experts in the field, as Ms. Wilcox mentioned. It's not only those who have the licenses but also have the time and the expertise to be able to weigh in on it, no matter which member of the task force they would be. Additionally, as again Ms. Wilcox said, there is a important time frame coming up because many of the license holders of all these different various types are struggling currently with the taxation and the permitting in place, so we wanted to get it moving quickly and not delay further. We are understanding that if there is a desire to extend it, that's certainly something I'd be amenable to listening to, although at this point I think moving forward with what we have would be critical. So wanted to make sure that we're moving forward quickly. We gave them the ability to meet at least four times, if not more, and with the meetings only being virtual, individuals could call in from wherever they are, whichever vacation they are on, to make sure that the process is moving forward. So with it just being recommendations, experts in the field, and the critical speed of the time frame being necessary, I think the January 1 or first day of the legislative session, rather, is a good time frame as we move forward on this. And if it takes 2 years to pass, that would have been 10 years since the ballot measure passed. And I figure that'd be a good time frame to look at the support and the structure of the industry as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you. Along the same lines as Representative Richmond, what happens if the legislature has questions of the task force? As it currently is written, there wouldn't be a task force to even work, respond to by the time the next legislature meets, because it's task force is over.
Mr. Hardenbrook?
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. Through the chair, I would just refer you to page 3 of the bill, which would be line 5, section E, subsection 2, the task force shall ensure members are available for legislative hearings. So there is an expectation that folks who serve on the task force would be made available to advise the legislature on their deliberations and findings.
Yes, follow up.
Not sure how this works, but there would be no members once the task force has terminated when the first regular session of the 33rd legislature convenes.
Mr. Hardenbrook.
Representative Carpenter, it's a good point, sir. I would say that the folks who are identified and serving in the task force hopefully would remain engaged with the process and advocating for their findings in the next legislature and with the administration.
Representative Carpenter. Thank you. Further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair, do you have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 289, version 32-LS1317-I from committee as amended with individual recommendations and fiscal note forthcoming, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 289 is moved from committee. Thank you, Representative Hopkins, Mr. Hardenbrook, and Ms. Wilcox for being here today. And we're looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow morning, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Representative Merrick, and members of the committee.
Thank you. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 2:24 p.m. And our final item today is an introduction of Senate Bill 222, Extend Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board, by Senator Gray Jackson. Welcome to House Finance, Senator. If you could place yourself on the record and begin your your presentation, please.
For the record, this is Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, representing District I in Anchorage, and this is my legislative staff, Luma Diaz, and I want to thank Madam Co-Chair and the members of the committee for hearing this bill this afternoon. Thank you. Senate Bill 222. Under current state statute, the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board is set to terminate on June 30th, 2022. The Division of Legislative Audit recommends an 8-year extension of the board of SB 222 would extend that termination date to an effective date of June 30, 2030. The State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board provides oversight for medical services utilized by many Alaskans. Extending the board's termination date will allow for continued regulation of the practice of physical and occupational therapy in our state, ensuring that the industry adheres to best practices. I'm going to ask my legislative aide, Luma Diaz, to briefly read the two sectional analysis. Thank you.
For the record, my name is Luma Diaz, staff to Senator Bay Jackson. So I'm going to go ahead and read you the sectional analysis for Senate Bill 222. Section 1, amends statute to change the termination date of the State Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy Board from June 30th, 2022 to June 30th, 2030. Section 2, the act becomes effective immediately upon signature.
Great, thank you. Are there questions from the committee? Seeing none, I see we have our legislative auditor, Ms. Curtis, in the audience. Would you like to come up and comment on the audit? Welcome back to House Finance.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Chris Curtis, legislative auditor. So legislative audit did conduct an audit. I believe you have it in your packet, dated April 2021. So overall, we found this board is serving the public's interest by conducting their meetings in accordance with state law, by amending certain regulations to improve the professions of physical therapy and occupational therapy, and by effectively licensing and regulating physical therapists, physical therapy assistants, occupational therapists, and occupational therapy assistants. So we are recommending an 8-year extension. There is the standard licensing information in the audit report. Turn to page 5. You will see that as of January 2021, there was 1,762 active licenses and permits. This is an increase of 53% when compared to the prior 2013 sunset audit. According to the board chair, telehealth contributed to the increase. On page 7, you'll find the board's schedule of revenues and expenditures. So as of January 2021, the board had a surplus of just over $211,000. Schedule of fees is on page 6. Fees were decreased in FY20 to address the deficit. We have no recommendations. And the response to the audit begins on page 19. Both the DCCED commissioner and the board chair agree with the report conclusions.
Thank you. What a fantastic audit to receive.
Quick.
The board must be doing a phenomenal job. Are there questions from the committee regarding the audit? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Curtis. Is there anything further on House Bill 222 before we set it aside? Seeing none, thank you, Senator, for being with us today.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and committee members.
And we will look forward to taking Senate Bill 222 up at a very soon future meeting. And with that, our agenda has concluded. Our next meeting will be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. We will consider House Bill 220, Retirement Systems Defined Benefit Option. And with that, at 2:28 p.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.